John 16, verse 1 to 15. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Okay, let's pray again. Father, we ask that you would meet us. We ask that you would send the Spirit, and the Spirit would exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that you would speak to all of us, your children, and we exalt Jesus, the head of the church. Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill this place and give us understanding and revelation about the person of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Earlier this week, I had seven ministries of the Holy Spirit that I saw in John chapter 14 through 17. And then it ballooned to eight things that I saw. And I went to sleep last night. I woke up this morning and God simplified it. He said there's one thing. What do you think the one thing? What is the one main ministry of the Holy Spirit? Can you summarize it with one word?
Jesus.
Jesus. It is Jesus. Again, it's Jesus. John chapter 14. And I encourage you. You will be so blessed if you read John 14 through 17 as a single unit. There's so much there, but if you take it in chapters or in sections, you will not get the full picture. So I encourage you, let's read John 14 through 17 over and over and over, and God will give so much revelation. John 14 verse 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. And where does the Holy Spirit come from? The Father. And whose name does he send the Spirit? In Jesus' name. The Father sends the Spirit to all of us in Jesus' name. So if you want the Spirit, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, if you want understanding from the Holy Spirit, ask the Father. And I think this this reminds me that whenever we pray, I hope you begin your prayer as the way that Jesus encouraged all of us to begin our prayers. You pray to the Father, our Father in heaven. We cannot ignore the first person of the Trinity. Nor can we ignore the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that as well. But start with praying to the Father and come to Him as a child. Stripped of all of your titles, all of your years of experience of being in the church, just come to Him simply as a child. We speak to the Father and we ask the Father, please send the Holy Spirit. And then chapter 15, verse 26. It says, But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Again, it is from the Spirit comes from the Father. So ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus says, I will send him. And Jesus speaks with the Father. And the Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name. Pray to the Father often and ask for the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it can be summed up in one word, Jesus. Chapter 14, verse 26. We're going to jump around a little bit today. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. So two things here. The Holy Spirit teaches you all things. And he brings to remembrance all that Jesus himself taught. And so clearly, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is about Jesus. What Jesus taught, who Jesus is, bringing to remembrance, bringing understanding about all things under heaven and on earth. Holy Spirit will teach you and bring to remembrance at the right time exactly what Jesus taught in the exact moment that you need it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He will teach you and he will bring to remembrance the words of Jesus right when you need it. Chapter 16, verse 13 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Again, there is so much confusion when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Because people want to talk about their gifts. People want to talk about their experiences of in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, he does not want to be the center of attention. You could even argue that he is maybe the humblest among the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity. That he does not want to be the center of attention. He, I think, would feel uncomfortable if you were bragging and exalting the name of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit's main ministry is to glorify the Son. And how does the Holy Spirit glorify the Son? By declaring to us what Jesus said. And Jesus didn't speak on his own authority. The Father first spoke. And you see the Trinity here working together. The same way the Trinity works together in salvation. The Father draws, the Spirit blows, Jesus saves. Here the teaching. The Father teaches. Jesus hears from the Father. Jesus teaches. The Holy Spirit receives words from Jesus, which came from the Father. And the Holy Spirit brings revelation and guides us into all the truth. And the Holy Spirit does not want to be the center of attention, ever. He is just a spotlight. He is shining the light on Jesus. He wants to glorify Jesus. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He glorifies Jesus by declaring to us what he heard from Jesus. Chapter 15, verse 27. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Let me actually read verse 26 as well. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And you also bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. So the main ministry of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit constantly bears witness about Jesus. He is the best witness for Jesus. He bears witness constantly about Jesus. So if you look at a Spirit-filled church and you hear a Spirit-filled preacher, what should be coming out of their mouth? What should be the main message be? Shouldn't it be Jesus? Doesn't the Holy Spirit bear witness about Jesus? And yet you go to churches and you hear pastors, how come they don't preach Jesus? Perhaps they are not filled with the Spirit, but filled with some unclean spirit that wants to introduce chaos and disorder. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit's main job is to remember and to receive from Jesus and declare it to us, and His main ministry is to shine a spotlight on Jesus and bear witness for Jesus, what do you think you should hear when you go to a Spirit-filled church? Shouldn't it be Jesus? Not only does the Helper bear witness about Jesus, the Helper helps us to bear witness for Jesus, especially while under persecution. Because the whole context here, if you read the second half of chapter 15, is the hatred of the world. And I want to clarify, thanks to Jackie and some heated debates that we had this week, I want to clarify what I said last week. I said, based on John chapter 15, that I said that Jesus did not die for the world. He laid down His life for the friends. And I'm not talking about the world as in the inhabitants of the world. I'm talking about the world as a system. Jesus did not die for a system of this world that hates Jesus. We don't know individually who will respond to the gospel and who the Father is drawing. And the Spirit is blowing in that person's life. We don't know when the Savior will come and meet somebody and save somebody. But when Jesus speaks of the world, He's constantly talking about the system. And He says, this system hates Me because I am not of it. It's like Kevin Durant. He was loved by Russell Westbrook when they were at OKC. But as soon as Durant left, Russell hated him. Because He's not of us. And that's the same language that is used in chapter 15. You are not of us. Jesus is not of this world. That's why the world system hates Jesus. Because He's outside of it. And for the believer, we're saved from this world and brought into a new kingdom. We're in this world. We're not of it. We're just like Jesus, who is not of this world. And so the context of the Helper helping us to bear witness for Jesus is in the context of chapter 15 and the opening verses of chapter 16 about persecution, of the hatred of this world. And it says in Luke chapter 12, speaking about persecution, Luke chapter 12, especially in the final hour of human history. Luke 12, verse 11 and 12. And when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And so when they're bringing you, if you are in this group who are persecuted and hated by this world system, including the religious system, and Jesus is telling us that even in the first century, the Christians were rounded up in synagogues. In the final century, we also will be rounded up into synagogues. the same people who killed Jesus will try to kill us and will in fact kill many of us in the final generation. And you don't have to have a testimony ready. You don't have to have a sermon in your back pocket. Like Stephen, when he's being martyred, it's not because he rehearsed it. In the moment of persecution, right before the stones were thrown, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he spoke. And it wasn't his words. It was from the Holy Spirit. And what was the Holy Spirit doing? He was bearing witness for Jesus. Not only will the Holy Spirit bear witness, but we will bear witness, especially while under persecution. Chapter 16, verse 13, the second half. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is the one line I think that is a little bit different from the rest of the points from today, which is all about bearing witness for Jesus. This one is future, declaring to us, to you, what is to come. And the reason why he does that, Jesus explains in chapter 16, verse 1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. And he says it again in verse 4. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Jesus doesn't want us to be caught off guard. And there's even a rapture teaching, which basically says there is no tribulation. Because even if there is, you're not here. You've been raptured. And so you don't really have to be prepared. If you look at Jesus' words, he's saying you have to be prepared for how difficult it's going to be. And I am telling you very specifically in details. And when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will tell you so that you're not caught off guard. Because if you expect peace in this life and there's tribulation, then you may fall away from Jesus. But if he warns you, and things unfold in history and even in your life, and it matches what it says in Scripture, shouldn't that increase our confidence? Shouldn't that increase our confidence that this book is true? That every word in this book is true? And as I read it, I feel confident because my life is in God's hands. Even as the whole world is shaking because of coronavirus. And all the things that are listed in Scripture, which are terrifying. We know the end of the story. We may die to a virus. We may die at the hands of leaders in a synagogue. We may be rounded up to rulers and dictators and presidents in this world. We may die, but we know how the story ends. We know the last page. Jesus won. He is a victor. And that is what gives us confidence. Jesus is telling us all these things so that we do not fall away out of being caught off guard and being so unprepared. Jesus is preparing us to endure whatever comes our way. And the Holy Spirit will declare to you what is to come. Ask the Spirit as you look at the news in 2020. It is such a rough beginning to this new decade. What does the Holy Spirit communicate to you about what's going to happen this year? He will tell you. He will tell you. So far for me, he's told me it's going to be a rough year and a rough decade. Specifically in this country, I think many of us will be shocked at what evil and corruption is going to be exposed this year. I am sure of it. I am sure of it. Many people, the people you trusted, the institutions you put your faith in and trusted, they will be shattered. Much corruption will be exposed. And that's what the Holy Spirit is telling me. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is coming up in 2020? What is coming up around the corner? He will tell you. so that when it happens, you'll be ready. Chapter 16, verse 9. Concerning sin. Let me read verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And here it's talking about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing that the Lord showed to me this week is, did you know that the Holy Spirit convicts everybody? There's not a single person who's walked on this earth who has not been touched by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. For the believer, we know the conviction of the Spirit came on one particular day, and that began our journey. Because up until 1993, I was a 19-year-old who thought my life was fine. But on one particular day, November 1993, Jesus met me. And then suddenly my eyes were open, and I realized for 19 years I lived as a sinner. I didn't know I was a sinner. I didn't think my life was that bad, but he showed me so much sin. How I had been doing life on my own apart from Christ, and making all the decisions on my own and making a mess of my life. And all the burden was on me because it was my life and I had to forge my future. And on that day, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin and my need for a Savior. And I met the Lord Jesus. Did you know here, the Holy Spirit, it says, Holy Spirit is convicting the world. And remember, I said it's the world system. And it says, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And I thought, I always thought that if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, it will naturally lead to repentance. That's actually not true. Here it says, the Holy Spirit is convicting the world. And guess what? The world is not repenting. Did you see that? Like conviction, doesn't it always lead to repentance? No. Such a surprising thing that the Lord showed. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. Everybody knows their brokenness. The Holy Spirit is convicting people of their sin, of their unbelief. And he's rebuking the world and showing so much evidence to the world. Don't you know you need Jesus? Don't you know how broken you are? Anybody who's honest with themselves will locate many moments in their life when they see their brokenness and their sin, and specifically the sin of unbelief. And despite all the conviction of the Holy Spirit, despite all the evidence that the Holy Spirit gives over the course of a person's lifetime, to the end, many in this world will never repent. And at the end, when they're in judgment, when they're under judgment, the Holy Spirit will say, this is what I showed you on this day. This is what I showed you on this day. I showed you so many times Jesus Christ, and you chose not to believe. So salvation is a miracle of God. It is also our choice. It's a mystery. How does it work together? God does so much to save. But in the end, even God cannot make you humble yourself. You have to decide, on this day, I am going to bend the knee and humble myself. And the Holy Spirit is just convicting you again and again. So when you pray, there are many things that the Holy Spirit will convict you. And even without the Spirit's conviction, you just know you committed this sin earlier today. I should repent. I said this. I thought this. I should repent. Also, ask the Spirit to convict you of things that you're blind to, that you didn't know. And as you get softened in your heart, more things will come out. Before, it's just a blatant sins that you repent of. later on, the Spirit shows you more and more. Even the motives of your heart. Even that passing thought. You don't think it's a sin, but it was a sin. And the Spirit will convict you of things you didn't even know. Like, I didn't know that every time I'm harsh toward Jackie, that my prayers are hindered. Holy Spirit showed me that verse. And so now, if I, even one word, one tone, even if it's not so obvious in my spirit, internally, if I know that there was some harshness, I don't want my prayers to be hindered. I will repent. I will repent. Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He convicts the world of their unbelief. If there's one sin, we whether you're a believer or not, the one sin we should be repenting of many times a day is our lack of belief. Our lack of faith. We say we trust Jesus, but yet we're so troubled. We say we trust Jesus, yet there's so many fears. We say we trust Jesus, yet we're so burdened. All of the emotional state of your heart is evidence of unbelief. And so I encourage you, ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if you ask for it, He will show you so many times when you did not believe in His Son. Chapter 16, verse 10. Again, He's speaking to the world concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. It's clear here that righteousness pertains to the person of Jesus. Because now that Jesus has left, righteousness has left. That is what the Spirit is telling us. He tells the world, you had a chance to see and observe for yourself what true righteousness is. Now the window has closed. He's left. You can't see Him anymore. And that's why it says in Matthew 6:33, we seek His kingdom and Jesus' righteousness. You know, because of theology, it just kind of gives us a wrong picture of the Christian life, because it tries to boil down and box in these amazing truths into like a one-line bullet point. It just can't suffice. And so when we talk about, theologians talk about Jesus' righteousness credited to us, it almost feels like we're so passive. We just receive it and we do nothing. But Jesus Himself said, seek My kingdom and My righteousness. And every time you open up Scripture, you're seeing the righteousness of Christ. You're seeing how Jesus lived His life. Because righteousness means approved. God approves. And who does God approve of the most? Jesus Christ. He is the perfect man. He shows the potential of what we can be in Christ. When we're sanctified and we abide in Him and we bear much fruit, He shows the potential. He is the perfectly obedient Son. He didn't speak until He heard from the Father. Do we speak so many words without consulting the Father? Without abiding in Christ? If so, our lips are unrighteous. Do we have self-righteousness in our heart in terms of judging people and throwing stones against them because of their sin? Look at Jesus. He silences a bunch of Pharisees who are ready to throw a stone at a woman caught in adultery. He gives dignity to this woman. He doesn't judge her. He's not angry with her. He's not throwing her out. He's not throwing a stone at her. He is so gracious. That is what righteousness looks like in the face of sin. Jesus was fully obedient to the Father. And that's what proves that He loves the Father. He died on a cross. Are you obedient to the Father? The way Jesus was obedient to the Father. Do you even ask the Father before you make decisions? Because there is a macro level of discipleship, and then there's a micro level. We might say macro level, I am a follower of Jesus. But micro level, all the small decisions we make on our own, and all the small decisions, if you add them all up, it is your life. And so if you're macro, you say, I'm a follower of Jesus. He is my master and Lord. But 10 to 20 to 100 decisions in a day you make on your own, and you add them up, 99% of your life, aside from the major decisions you make on your own, are you really following Jesus? Jesus shows us where righteousness is in terms of His obedience, His humility, His love, His graciousness, the way He speaks, the way He interacts with people. He gets on His knees. He washes His disciples' feet. You're seeing righteousness in all of its manifestations. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He highlights Jesus. He highlights His words, His life, everything about Jesus. And you look at your life compared to Jesus, and you see how far you fall short. And He convicts you of your sin. The Holy Spirit does the same thing to the world, highlights the righteousness of Jesus. How glorious He is, how beautiful He is, and the world says, no thank you. I don't want to believe in Him. It is their choice. We choose to be molded in the image of God as we look upon the face of Jesus. And then lastly, verse 11. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And I want to turn lastly to Matthew 25 to wrap this up. This is the final judgment after Christ returns and all the nations are gathered, the sheep on His right, the goats on His left. And He says in verse 41, then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This shows clearly that hell was not designed for you. Hell is not for you. Hell was created because of Satan and all of the fallen angels. It is designed for them. It is not for you. Some may go to hell. They shouldn't be there. It's not God's will that they're there. God wants everyone to repent and to be saved. And yet some people choose to go there because the conviction of the Spirit comes and they refuse it over and over again. And they shake their fist at God. They refuse to humble themselves. And they are deceived. They are blinded. And you know that if you are being condemned constantly about hell, and you're constantly afraid, I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to go to hell, you just know the person speaking to you is not God. God is not speaking to you in those moments when all you can think about is hell and how afraid you are of going to hell. It is not for you. For the believer and those who are on the path of salvation, we are fixed on heaven. We don't even think about hell. It doesn't even cross our mind. It is not for us. It is not prepared for us. It is not designed for us. I have a home, a room in my Father's house. I'm thinking about heaven. Holy Spirit reminds us that hell is not God's punishment for you. It is for Satan and his fallen angels. Satan will keep talking about hell, will condemn you and make you think about hell and how you might end up in hell. That is from Satan and his angels, because he wants people to be deceived and dragged down with him to hell. But we are not deceived. We don't even think about condemnation in that way. The only person who is condemned is the one who does not believe. But we believe. We don't think about hell. We're thinking about heaven. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is mainly one word, Jesus. He teaches you what Jesus taught. He brings to remembrance at exactly the right time the teaching that you need to hear in that moment that came from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is like a spotlight. He glorifies the Son. He never wants to be the center of attention. He never wants churches to brag about the Holy Spirit and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not interested in that kind of a ministry. He'd be ashamed if people did that. That's not what He wants. He wants to shine a spotlight on the person of Jesus. And so a Spirit-filled minister and a Spirit-filled church, what will you hear over and over again in that place? You'll hear the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. How does He do it? He declares to you what He heard from Jesus. And Jesus, what He heard from the Father. It is one teaching. Holy Spirit will declare things that are to come. And that is to give us advance warning. So we're not caught off guard. We don't fall away. We're not waiting for a rapture so that we have an easy escape route. No, we're being prepared so that when life and history unfolds the way Jesus said in His Word, we say, Jesus, You are so truthful. Your Word is so true. You really are the Son of God. And when we see the world hating us and such tribulation coming upon us through pestilence and through wars and rumors of wars and being sent to the synagogues and before rulers and authorities, we know that this gives the believer confidence that I am on the right side because I know how the story ends. I am not going to fall away. I am not going to be shaken. And the Spirit will convict you of sin. And for us, let's look back and ask the Spirit, in what concrete ways did I not trust in Jesus? When was I troubled? When was I worried? When was I burdened? These are manifestations of unbelief. And let's repent. The Spirit will help you, will convict you of your lack of faith in Jesus, your lack of trust in Jesus, your unbelief. And may we overcome our unbelief through repentance and faith. And lastly, the Holy Spirit will convict us about Jesus' righteousness. Don't just look at Jesus' words. Look at how He lived. He is a perfect example. Look at how He lived. How He spoke. How He interacted with people. How He washed people's feet. This is Jesus, His righteousness on display. And of course, we will fall short in many ways because we say things without praying. We say things that are wrong. We say things that are harsh. In the motives of our heart, there are things that are not righteous. And we look upon Jesus. He had no agenda. He was not trying to be famous. He was not trying to be worldly. He laid down all of His agendas. He just had one mission. I'm going to express My love for the Father by obeying everything that He asked Me to do, especially the final assignment of dying on a cross for the sins of this world. And so we focus, Holy Spirit focuses a spotlight on Jesus' totality, His righteousness. And hell, don't even think about it. That is not for you. Don't worry about it. That is not for you. Whenever those thoughts come, recite Matthew 25:41. Hell is for Satan and the fallen angels. It's not my destiny. I am a believer. I'm going to heaven. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come as your child. And we don't have to be an orphan in this world. You say in your word that if we love Jesus and believe that Jesus was sent by the Father, you say, Father, that you love us. And because I am a believer, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent from the Father above. And because I love Jesus the Son, I don't have to be insecure and wonder, what does the Father think of me? I know what the Father thinks of me. He loves me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit to us. Amidst all the confusion surrounding the person, the third person of the Trinity, so much chaos, many people don't even want to touch the subject of the Holy Spirit because it's led to so much confusion. We thank you for simplifying it for us. It is one ministry, one word, Jesus. Thank you for teaching us about Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing to remembrance all that Jesus taught. Thank you for bearing witness about Jesus. Thank you for helping us to bear witness about Jesus. Thank you for giving us advance warning of the tribulation that is to come. We're experiencing already some of them in 2020. It is turbulent, but it's going to become even more turbulent. Thank you for telling us in advance and reminding us of how the story ends. Jesus, you overcame the world, and we too are overcomers. Holy Spirit, thank you for convicting us of sin. Forgive us for unbelief. Forgive us for small belief. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our small faith. We want to believe more, Lord. We want to believe in you more, Lord Jesus, so that we're so unshakable, so that we're in Christ, so that we have peace. Even while the world is lacking peace, we are in Christ and we have peace. Give us absolute faith in Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting us of Jesus' righteousness and our unrighteousness. We look at Jesus, what he said, how he said it, what he did, how he did it, his humility, his love, his compassion, his grace, his submission to the Father, his obedience, his prayerfulness, his abiding in the Father's love. We see all of that and we look at our life and we say, Lord, I am unrighteous in so many ways. I am not like Jesus in so many ways, but Holy Spirit, we thank you that you convict us about Jesus' righteousness and you shine the light on Jesus. And Lord, show us, reveal to us even in this moment how we fall short of Jesus' righteousness. And for the rest of our life, from this day forward, we're going to seek Jesus' righteousness. It will one day become our righteousness. As we seek it and we become it. Thank you, Lord, for clarifying. We don't have to think about hell and judgment in that sense. It is not prepared for us. It hasn't been created for us. We don't even have to give it a moment's thought. Our mind is fixed as believers on heaven and the room that you're preparing for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for relieving us of all fears. We don't have to fear going to hell. You will keep us all the way until we reach heaven. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. Remember, Jesus, that you died, you're buried and resurrected, and your body was broken and resurrected. Your blood was shed, and your blood is still effectual for your church today. I pray that it would cover every person from head to toe, body, soul, spirit, mind, will, emotion. We pray for every unclean spirit to come out, and that you would set your people free. Meet us in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, because the body of Christ and the head, who is Christ, we are one. We are in Christ. Make that a reality today, Lord, as we partake in your supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.